Hello and welcome to episode 54 of TechAU. My name is Jason Cartwright and I'm recording this on the 18th of May 2011. If you've never seen TechAU before, I feel sorry for you because this is a bloody good show about technology. And if you love technology and you love this show, well, tell your friends. Hell, tell the world. You know you can on Twitter these days, so go and do it. Anyway, with that in mind, I want to talk to you about the most interesting stories of the technology world this week. And to kick it all off, we've got Empire Avenue. If you've never heard of it before, it's a brand new site that allows you to trade yourself online. It sounds like a crazy concept, but it rewards you for your social activity. So if we have a look at, and let me just pull it up here now, empireavenue.com/techau, you can invest in my shares right now. So we have a look and we've got TechAU and it obviously links to my website if you want to click that link. But my share price right now is $49.11. Well, it's not really dollars, it's these thing called EVEs, and that's the currency of Empire Network. It's a social currency. So basically how I achieve that share price is by joining up my social accounts. So Twitter, Facebook pages, LinkedIn, Flickr, and YouTube, as well as a blog. And everything that I do online, I get rewarded on Empire Avenue. Seems kind of like a good fit for TechAU, right? Because I'm always producing this social content. And so this rewards it gives you a value of how much you're worth. And you can obviously compare that and based on what you do, your share price goes up and down and you pay dividends to your shareholders, which I have right now 71 shareholders. And thank you very much to everybody who invested so far. My net wealth, which is also based on not only my share price and the amount that I'm earning from people investing in me, but also my investments in other people. So I invest in people really early, or I try to anyway, get in early on the growth curve. So when they join their accounts and it takes a couple of days to calculate how many posts and things, how active they are, if you can get in on a really popular account early and then the next few days, their social credibility, if you like, goes through the roof, then you will make huge, huge dividends. And that's what we call a great share. So the way that I do that, and this is a bit of a trick for some of you who are on Empire Avenue right now, is there's actually an iPhone app, which I prefer to the web interface. And there's one single simple reason for that, is that it has a really easy to find, a place to get access to those people who have just joined the service. So you can scroll down a list of people who have just joined within, you know, the last few hours. So if you see some big names and big company names, there's the other thing. I've joined this not as Jason Cartwright, but as TechAU. So, and you'll have to make that decision as well. If you're a publisher and you have a business and you have your personal life, you'll have to make that decision when you go in. Am I going to join this as a business or as a personal? And in the rankings, when we hit the rankings or the leadership boards, you'll see why that's important. Because on the left, we have individuals. On the right, we have businesses. So it really depends on which leaderboard you want to compete on. So first of all, obviously being social, it links to your top Facebook friends. So who's the most active on Facebook? And it happens to be Jason Jordan, which was the guy, those who followed me through the Top Gear competition, he was the announcer or the MC that night in Perth when we had the final round. So that's how I met Jason Jordan. We become friends on Facebook and then he shows up here. Followed by Brad Tech Webcast. He is always online. He has something like 50,000 tweets. Crazy. Long Zen, Michael Corey from Ironet, also Top Geek. And Drew Andrew, the boss. Who else? So that's the top five of my Facebook friends. Now, if I want to, and I nearly went to touchscreen, that would be awesome. And I should add a touchscreen there in the future. But you can come down to different social networks. So maybe on Twitter, you want to find out who has the highest score out of your friends on Twitter. But you can also not only get your friend graph or evaluation of where your friends sit, but the public in the country you're in. So in my case, Australia. But also the globe. So you can see who's the leading the whole thing, Empire Avenue, who is the top dog. And in Australia for businesses, ProBlogger or Darren Rose from ProBlogger. And TechAU is currently sitting third, which Adelaide Tweet just pipped me today. I was second until then. So I need to get moving on Twitter. But yeah, you can find out your overall score and that sort of thing. You can buy some luxury items, which add to your net wealth and gives you dividends each day and that sort of jazz as well. But yeah, across the top here, we have ticker, like a stock ticker. Like if you've ever seen NBC or MSNBC and they have the stock ticker going across the screen the entire time. It's very similar to that, except for these are the people that I'm investing in. So I know that Robert Scoble has increased by 42 cents today, or I know that Xbox has gone up $11.84, or 11.84 EVs, if you like. So they're a hot stock at the moment, Xbox, and I got in on there. Today, I just earned the award, so you can earn achievements as well, for based on what you do and how much you've done on Empire Avenue. So today, I unlocked more shares. So when you initially list, you get 10,000 shares that people can buy. Fortunately, my shareholders, the 71 shareholders, have bought all those 10,000 shares. So what that means is I'd reached the first level and then unlocked more. So another 2,500 get released. People buy them and then I go up and get more achievements. So that's how achievements work. And you can see anybody's achievements if you visit their profile and click the achievements tab. So it's, you know, you don't get anything by doing Empire Avenue. It's really just a bit of fun, or at least so far. You can spend real dollars if you want to buy more EVs. More EVs will get you to buy more shares, which then you can make more EVs. So it's for me right now, it's just been a lot of fun, and it's pretty much become an addiction this last week. I initially, when I signed up and tried it out, I thought, oh, it's kind of cool. I might use it for a couple of days and it'll go away. But I find myself, any spare time I've got, not only am I firing up a Twitter or Facebook app on my phone, I'm also firing up the Empire Avenue app. So that sort of gives you a gauge as to how interested or engaged I am in the service. So if you're social online, check out empireavenue.com. And go and sign up and buy TechAU shares, because we're a hot property right now, to be honest. It's kicking butt. And yeah, other people are seeing that and continually buying or rebuying, adding more shares. So there you go. That's story number one. Story number two is the PSN, PlayStation Network, is finally back online. After almost a month, and I mean almost, this was a day off a month of downtime, the PlayStation Network has been restored across the world. I believe Japan may be still a little, which is kind of strange because Sony's from there. They may not be back online. There's a few technical things they have to prove in Japan before they can re-enable it there. So they did implement a huge new security structure, basically rebuilt PSN from the ground up, which within a month is a pretty, you know, phenomenal achievement. They initially said a week, which, you know, I don't think many people really believed it was ever going to be just a week downtime after the severity of what happened was really revealed. And, you know, we all know Sony handled it pretty badly, but they're trying to make up to, you know, make it up to us right now by, you know, giving us compensation. So let me talk you through, and I'll just bring this up now, the compensation package that PlayStation or Sony are offering PS3 users. So they've obviously got a lot of groundwork to do to make up the lost mindshare or the trust relationship that you have with somebody when you hand over a credit card and all your personal info that was lost. I mean, they lost everything. They are still staying strong on the fact that they can't definitively say whether credit cards were or weren't lost. They just don't know. And that seems to stem from the fact they didn't have measures in place to detect intrusions. So without that, you couldn't really tell if somebody's come into your network. So now they do. So, you know, future hackers, you try it on, you're probably going to get busted. It's probably not a soft target anymore. But yeah, wow, what a storm. So I don't know why this isn't loading. It fired up before. PlayStation.com.au, come on. You can go there yourself, obviously, and check out. But yeah, I noticed they had a blog post on it earlier that explained, yeah, you basically get a choice of about five or six games. You get to choose two. So obviously, many of us who have PS3s already have a number of games. and things like Little Big Planet and Wipeout HD already had. So I'll be choosing one of the others. And they weren't like A-list titles. They were kind of, I guess sort of good, you know, decent games, Ratchet and Clank and stuff like that. Like, okay games. Also, what you get is the PlayStation Plus for 30 days. If you're already a Plus subscriber, then you're like, well, that doesn't matter. Like, already pay for that. So, they're going to give you 60 days free, which is kind of cool. And PSP owners as well, they're involved in this whole deal. There's games for you. And Curiosity isn't up yet, I believe. Music Unlimited is, you get free month or something for that as well. So, this isn't coming up, which is a shame. But anyway, go and check that out at playstation.com.au. There's, the blog post and the big post on the front, the big image and graphics stuff on the front page explaining it all. So, that is story number two. Oh, before we finish that one, there is no ETA for the store. So, you can't buy DLC from the store. You can't download demos. So, there's a few limitations. So, this is what they call phase one of the restoration process. There's no ETA at all for the next version, the next edition of the next phase of the update to repair those things. But you can play online now. All those people who bought Portal 2 on PS3 and got the Steam license and got screwed over by the whole PSN downtime, yes, you are a month late to playing Portal 2 co-op, but you are able now to do that. So, I would suggest strongly get in there and do that and enjoy Portal 2, because fantastic game, as I mentioned last week. So, that's it for number two. Gears of War 3 beta is all over. It's done. So, you cannot play Gears of War beta, Gears of War 3, Gore 3, Gal 3, I don't know how you want to say it, but Gears of War 3 beta. I was lucky enough to get an invite code to the beta. They were in limited supply. You had to do competitions online or know somebody who knows somebody to get an invite code. And I was lucky enough to get one. So, I played it for about 3 to 4 weeks. And wow. This game is awesome. And it's on my must-buy list, without a doubt. The beta's been switched off. It wasn't a demo, so that's why it's been turned off. It was a beta. They used it to collect evidence or information about how players were using the multiplayer. They feed that back into the development channel, make some final refinements, and then in September, we're going to get the game, we're going to get the demo, that sort of jazz. So, the biggest thing in Gears of War 3 is destructible environments. So, it's not new for a game by any means. It's been done before, but it is new to the Gears franchise. And Gears of War is probably the second most popular first-person shooter on the Xbox 360. So, second only to the massive Halo, Gears of War is huge. And, I've got the first and second Gears of War 2. Both of these babies right here. And I will be getting the third. And the other unique thing or new thing to Gears that really made a difference is you can just press the left bumper and see all the weapons and, replenishments and stuff around the maps, which is kind of cool. So, you don't have to... I guess if you're a newbie and you don't have to memorize every level and where the location of the best weapon is, because that can be critical in whether you do any good at all or whether you just get smashed straight from the start, which isn't fun. But if you know where the good weapons are, you can go and find them and, start to actually be competitive in a multiplayer game. So, to be able to know where they are straight out is fantastic. It's a good addition. And, it's clear that those guys listen to the feedback from the consumers. They've made changes throughout the beta as well. Each week as well, you unlocked different skins for your guns. So, there's like this flaming skin, which is animated, and you unlock that for the different weapons. There is just nothing in the world like the feeling of running up behind somebody and using the chainsaw on the end of your Lancer and just, it's just, there is nothing else like it. It's so satisfying. And that might sound brutal, but it is what it is. I love it. And Gears gives you that. So I, for one, cannot wait until this game comes out. Really looking forward to it. I think they've got a great mix of modifications from, you know, taking the best of the first and second versions and putting in the third. So this is set up to be a cracker. Go and have a look at the trailers and things online. I've done a post on it, so there's some screenshot gallery there. You can go and check that out on techau.tv. But that's basically it for Gears of War 3 Beta. I'm very sad to see that go, actually. I was looking forward to playing it again this weekend, but it's all over for now. Continuing on with the gaming news, the next story is Dirt 3 is available this Thursday. That's the 26th of May. Damn, that's come around fast. I remember seeing the initial trailer and getting super, super excited. This one is going to feature Ken Block, drifting extraordinaire. You may have seen his videos all over YouTube. They're pretty astonishing, and you'll get to play as Ken Block in the game. Learn all about drifting, the new cars, new levels, just insane, just awesome. I have the original Drift, Colin McRae Drift, and I didn't pick up the second one, actually. I played the demo and I liked it. I kind of wish I had bought it now, but I didn't buy that one. But Dirt 3 is absolutely on the must-buy list. Go over to codemasters.com and check out Dirt 3. Fantastic game. It's going to be available on Xbox 360, PS3, and PC. I'll be picking it up on the Xbox 360 just because I'm a dirty stat whore and I like to add to my Xbox achievements. About to crack 10,000 on that. So if you want to play online, I'm just TechAU is my gamer tag on, well, actually both on Xbox 360 and PlayStation Network. But I'm much more active on the Xbox 360, so hit me up there. And yeah, I'll be drifting in no time. The next story this week is a review. This week I reviewed the AC Ryan PlayOn HD 2. So I'd never really heard of AC Ryan before. I don't think they're really a prominent brand, at least not in Australia. And I got contacted by their PR company and, well, no, by the guy who runs it, actually. And he said, hey, look, we think we have a device that you could be interested in, or you, the viewers of TechAU, could be interested in. So we think maybe you want to review it. And I said, yes, that is true, sir. So I did. They sent me a review unit and this thing is kind of unique. It's got some cool features, actually. First of all, format support out the wazoo. This thing is ridiculous in the amount of formats. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, this is every format that you could name in terms of video and audio. It plays, you know, surround sound up to 7.1 support. It's crazy. Connectivity, you got USB 3 port, a couple of USB 2s, you got the SD cards, HDMI, component. I mean, just the spec list on this thing is as long as your arm. It's crazy. Probably one of the most unique features about it is it has a drive bay in the side of it. So it's not that much bigger than a hard drive. And so if you wrap around, I guess, a little bit of a black glossy case around the outside of it, and a big, you know, glowing power button on the front, it's a bit more than the size of a drive. So it's impressive that they could fit everything in such a small, light form factor. But the idea is that if you've already got all your media and stuff on a hard drive, that you don't want to have to copy it somewhere or transfer it to even stream it over the network as many as you can, but it's much easier just to stick an entire hard drive in the side of this thing. So as long as it's a SATA or a SATA 2 connector on the end of that hard drive, you can get, it's a 3.5-inch drive bay, but you can get an adapter for the 2.5-inch drive. They both work, and it's a pretty neat device. I mean, format support is second to none. Even Boxy, I include that in Boxy, which is really the selling point, is we play anything. This thing, I would say, is above and beyond what Boxy can offer, which is crazy. Actually, I do a lot of just MP4, H.264 video these days. The video camera I film on is AVC HD. My Canon 500D shoots like MOVs with H.264. So it's, you know, as much as video is starting to standardize, if you're getting your content from around the net, it is likely to be in a variety of formats. So that's, you know, this could be a device you want to look at, is what I'm trying to say. Is the AC Ryan PlayOn HD 2. The UI, it reminded me a lot of Xbox Media Center. It can be, just a bit of a warning, it can be a little sluggish at times, and it's not to the point where, you know, it was so frustrating that I couldn't use it. And, you know, firmware versions could fix it, because we've also just seen an update to BoxyBox as well, which has really added to the speed of that thing. So, I would suggest there could be firmware updates needed or on the way for PlayOn HD 2. Anyway, I really enjoyed the time with it, and a solid device, really solid for the price. Good stuff. Head over to techau.tv/reviews and you'll see this, my full review of the device. And yeah, there's a huge image gallery there, and yeah, go and check that out. Some fantastic news today for Samsung Omnia 7 owners, which I am. We've been waiting for the Nodo update to Windows Phone 7 for many months now. Many months. Way too long. So, pretty much it's the only device that doesn't have Nodo right now. And that's because there was some conflict or technical issue with Samsung and Microsoft and the update. And they all just basically didn't play well together. So, it sounds like now they've sorted that out, and if you own an Omnia 7, Microsoft will be pushing the update to it in the next couple of days, which is fantastic and about bloody time, because it's middle of May, and this is a March update, which is kind of crazy. So, now that this should arrive, and fingers crossed, when it does come, everything's okay, that, you know, we can continue on and and look forward to the next version, the next OS update, which is looking, you know, pretty schmick, actually. There's some nice refinements in the next version as well. So, I believe that's around September, maybe Tech Ed time. So, I'm looking forward to that on Windows Phone 7. Alrighty, I don't know if you heard this thing during the podcast, but this is another review unit. It's a Toshiba laptop, and I'll be taking this to Cbit and Remix, and they tell me that it gets 10 hours of battery life. I'm going to try that out, and what better place than a couple of conferences where you want to be typing all day. I'm going to try that out and see how it goes. I'll give you the full rundown when I'm there and when I've used it. It arrived today, so I really haven't had much time to spend with it, and just doing a restore, so that's probably why I was making some noise during the podcast. But I want to remind you, once again, Cbit and Remix conferences, I'm going to be there at the end of the month. If you're going to either of them, then let me know and we'll catch up and grab coffee or a couple of beers, and that'll be fantastic. I'm going to be in Sydney from the 30th of May, so it's Monday the 30th of May, till the 2nd of June, I fly home. So, let me know. Well, guys and girls, that's going to wrap it up for this week. This has been episode 54, and I want to thank you very much for spending your time and your downloads on this podcast. I really do appreciate it. And if you've enjoyed it, please, please, please tell your friends, because I'm trying to grow the audience of the podcast now it's back. You know, the amount of time I spend on this thing, I really, really want to see the rewards of the subscriber numbers go up, the viewers numbers go up, and get some more advertisers online. ReGadget, if you don't know, they haven't paid for an ad in this podcast, but at the top of my site, regadget.com.au, great service, go and check them out. Support TechAU, support the sponsors, guys. You know what to do. So, if you've got any comments, questions, or queries, you can send an email to jason@techau.tv or hit me up on Twitter. That's probably where I'm most active, @techau, or even on Facebook, facebook.com/techau. And that is all over. End of story. Finish of the episode. Thanks very much for joining me, guys. Bye.